I'm a little bit confused, if I may be. A pirate's booty, is that the treasure chest or is it his ass? I have no idea which it is.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
So confusing. And I need to know.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you so much. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam, as previously mentioned in the opening announcements of today's program. Thank you so much for being here. Did you get my thank you letter in the mail? I have sent out thank you notes to every single listener. Oh, I know who you are. My system here is very sophisticated. I know when you listen. I know what you listened on. I know what time you listened. I know what state you're from, what country you're from. I know your social security number, your bowling score, your golf average, how many children you have, how many children you wish you didn't have, what you eat for dinner, where you shop. I know everything about you, your favorite color, your favorite number, your quirky little habits, those strange little emails that you're sending to that woman or to that man. I am gender non-specific. I know all about you. I have your PIN number. I have your security questions. I mean, who doesn't have that information? We are living in a society of transparency to the point where it's absurd. When I was growing up, young ladies and gentlemen, we had great security concerns. We didn't even know what security was. We were thinking about a term called Big Brother. You may have heard it, young millennials. But we were told that someday there's going to be computer systems and cameras, and that everything we do is going to be tracked and observed. And people are going to know all about us and all our private intricacies. And some people said, well, that's never going to happen. Like climate change, that's never going to happen. Well, what are you talking about? And then look, it happened even more than we thought. All of your pertinent information is on that internet thing. Your credit card purchases, your credit card number, your security code, everything is in that stupid computer thing. And there are people and things called hackers. When I was growing up, a hacker was somebody with a really bad cough. Ach, ach. Well, yeah, you're going to hack up a lung. I know I'm a hacker. Hacker means two different things, just like booty. I'm confused once again. There are experts not only in Russia, but in every country that know how to hack. They can hack into almost anything they want. Almost. If they want to do it and spend the time doing it. It's their expertise. It's what they do. And as you know, in the past, many large companies have been hacked. Their computer systems have been shut down, disheveled. I believe Federal Express in the latest round of hacks and breaches and internet piracy. Can you believe there are internet pirates? They used to be concerned about the pirates with their booty.
I got my booty in the back of the ship.
That would be the stern, sir.
Well, whoever, Howard Stern, I don't know who you're talking. I'm so egotistical, all I ever say is I. I this, I that. It's really annoying. I have a booty in the stern of my bow. A large booty. It's worth millions of dollars.
What, your behind or your treasure chest?
I don't know. I don't really care. I don't know what you're talking about.
For torture, I guess, on pirate ships, they had people walk the plank. All they could afford was just one piece of wood.
I only have a plank. That's all I have. I usually use the plank. I put a dead fish on the plank and I put it on the barbecue. It comes out very tasty. With my booty. I flavor it with my booty on the plank with a fish in the barbecue grill on a boat. I love a parade.
That's nice that you like the parade. I mean, nobody care if I like the parade or not.
No, I like it, parade. I. You ever notice I also have an eye patch? There's a lot of eye going on my ship. Eye patch. I. Lot of eyes. There's no I in team. That would be teamy. Or time. Would be pronounced differently. There's also no W in team. There's no other, no vowels. No, there are some vowels. No O and no U. There's no U in team. Only I. E. A. I. I've got something in my eye. And one eye has a patch over it, and the other one I got an eyelash in it. I've got terrible eyesight problems. Between the eyelashes and the patch, I can't see a damn thing. I could fall off the plank by mistake. I think I'll go in the back of the ship and count my booty. I have a booty. I do. I this, I that. I'm always so sure. I.
Sounds like Trump, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the pirates always had a parrot on their shoulders. I don't get the significance of the parrot. I really don't. I know some parrots can actually repeat what you're saying. I assume these parrots could only say I. That's all the guy ever said. I would assume if you have a parrot on your shoulder all the time, if your eye patch is on the same side of your body as the parrot resting on your shoulder, you probably wouldn't know there was a parrot there because you can't see it because you're blind on that side. You're blindsided. The parrot's probably got a bunch of parrot crap on your shoulder and you wouldn't even see it because you got the eye patch over there.
I can't see my shoulder. Is the parrot still there? Is there parrot poop on my shoulder?
Sounds like a Broadway show tune. I got parrot poop on my shoulder. I got my life. I got my life ahead of me. And parrot poop on my shoulder.
Aww.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. I don't think the dry cleaners can take that out. I don't think you find a parrot poop. I don't think you find a pirate walking into a dry cleaners downtown. Can I help you, sir?
I think so. I got this stuff all over my shoulder.
What is that, sir?
I don't know.
Looks like parrot poop.
That's possible. I have a parrot.
Where do you keep your parrot?
On my shoulder. That's where I keep my parrot, on my shoulder. I used to keep it on my elbow. And the parrot wanted to stand on my groin all the time. I said, no, get up on the shoulder like every other parrot.
Sir, we can't, I don't know if we can remove this parrot poop.
Oh, I see. I'm going to have to ask you to walk the plank.
What are you talking about? What plank?
I don't know. I didn't bring the plank with me. But if you ever see a plank, will you do me a favor and walk it for me?
Sure.
Aww.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, you can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted $25 on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne. Okay, time to move on. Go to the Get the Divorce page in the upper right corner, pay up, and you're on your way to getting rid of that vermin you call a spouse. We're here to help. Divorce EZ, a Florida law firm.
I use colonoscopy easy.
I'm looking at something to do.
You know, crazy is good in its own vacuum. I know a lot of people that are quote-unquote normal. They're not interesting. They just do normal things. They get up. They brush your teeth. They have coffee. Brush your teeth again. They go to work. They're pleasant. They go home. Eat dinner. Go to bed. They do this like 26 days a week. If there are that many days in a week, I think there are. That's boring. Crazy is fascinating. And it was hard, so hard to take. There's no escape without a scream. But you kept it going till the sun fell down. You kept it going. I wonder if people from other planets are crazy. I think they are by nature. I think if you're going to travel to the Earth on a regular basis just to freak people out, hover in the sky and go back to your planet, you're crazy. I mean, if I were going to go so far as to visit a planet, I'd at least like stop off and pick up some beer or something. It's a long trip. Sometimes when you're curious, I'll be back around. So I think that you're wild and something uniquely styled. You might think it's foolish, it's chancy rendezvous. You might think I'm crazy, all I want is you. Oh, all I want is you. All I want is you. I got a question for you. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? Not that I care, but I'm curious. It is almost back to school time for the kiddies. Oh, yeah. Ron, you discussing this already? Yeah, because the stores have got their back to school merchandise all set for you. It's time. It's time to start looking at that. What about Christmas? Yeah, it's time to go shopping for Christmas, too. Yeah, I'm planning my Easter dinner for next year. There's nothing wrong with thinking ahead. Later on in the program, not too far from now, because we're progressing quickly here, time is not on my side. We're going to be speaking to one of the major proponents in the cotton industry. A lot of you don't know what your clothes are made of. Of course, unless you're a child in Taiwan or Bangladesh, you wouldn't know what you're doing. These children know clothing. They clothe the universe. These little kids, huh? These little kids. You know, you may think it's child labor. I think it's just that they're practicing when they're an adult to hold down a job. And I think that's, you know, commendable in many ways. Ron, that's disgusting. I think that's disgusting. It is disgusting, by the way. it is disgusting. Those poor little kids in sweatshops. At least they could turn on the air conditioning. Anyway, wouldn't it be ironic if the kids in the sweatshops were actually making sweatshirts? That would be interesting. Huh? That would be like, well, okay, I guess that makes sense. But a lot of people don't know what cotton is. It's cotton picking clothing is what it is. I've never made clothing before. I wouldn't know how. I can't sew. I mean, that's an actual thing that you have to learn. It's not like saying I can't cook. You can't put something in a saucepan or and put it the fire on the stove and heat it up. You can't, because that's what cooking is. You can't take a raw vegetable, throw it in a pan and with a little oil, and that's cooking, my friend. I don't know how to cook. I just told you how to do it. I just told you. I can't sew. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. When you sew, the first thing you do to start sewing is immediately frustrating. You have to thread the needle. Who does this? Why would you do something like that? You take this tiny little needle, which you literally can't find if you turn your head for just a second. Where's that needle? Oh, I put it down. I'll never find it. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. Oh, never go sewing in a haystack. That would be stupid. There'd be far too many phrases that would come out of that. I can't thread a needle. And at a point, I say to myself, why am I doing this? Why am I threading a needle? Why am I taking a piece of thread that's flopping all over the place, and of course you lick it to make it stiff? We've all been there, that's what she said. And then you're putting this thing through this tiny little narrow thing on a pinhead, basically. That's immediately too tough to do. Has anybody ever invented an automatic threader? Or a needle which is threaded automatically? I don't know how to do it. Someone can invent that, but probably make $1 million. I can't sew. I'm not going to. It's frustrating. And those sewing machines, I always picture sewing my finger to the garment and permanently having my finger removed in order to get the garment off me. I can't. I just can't. I don't care to sew. I don't care to sew. I don't. If a button comes off, I buy a whole new outfit. I can't deal with it. I just can't deal with it. So we have the cotton expert going to talk to us about the cotton picking clothing. And I don't know how you pick cotton. I don't know how to do that either. I assume you pick it off the thing, whatever it is. I'm not into cotton picking. How you turn that into a pair of pants is amazing to me. I don't know how. I've seen cotton in the field. When those cotton balls get rotten, you can't pick very much cotton. I don't know how you turn cotton into pants. I don't know how you turn anything into pants, as a matter of fact. I'm even still trying to figure out how to wear the damn things. Pants are funny. They're so funny. I love pants. Do you like pants? Everybody wears them. Women wear them. Men wear them. Pants. It's two legs. They're plural. They're pant legs. And we shorten it to pants. It's really a pant. It is a pant. It's a single pant. There are a pair of legs on the pant, but it is a pant. Technically, I believe. So when you go shopping, you're shopping for a pant, not a pair of pants. Are you getting two pairs of pants? That would be four legs. I'm confused about this. I guess a pant leg is a pant, and you can't just wear one pant leg. That might be in style someday. I can't decide whether I want to wear shorts, be naked, or wear long pants, so I'm just going to wear one pant leg. And for guys, I guess my junk is going to have to decide which side to go on, because there's only going to be one side. It's all I'm buying is one side. Or maybe someone will invent a pair of pants where each leg is different. Well, my left leg is plaid. My right leg is stripes. I'm a screw-up. That's in fashion, man. That's a fashion statement. Yeah, I know the fashion statement. The statement is I don't know how to dress. And I certainly don't know how to buy pants. Love pants. You like pants? I love pants.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hey, I do this every single weekday. I'm telling you, I don't know where the hell you've been. I've been doing this for years and years. Prior to doing this for about 3 years now, maybe four, I was on broadcast radio for over two decades. That was fun. This isn't. That was. But I have more freedom now. I can open up the window. They let me open up the window here. In the radio stations, they didn't let you open up the windows. The radio station I was with for the longest time was in an office building. You couldn't open up the windows. You know why you couldn't open up the windows? Because they're afraid that people would jump out of them. That's how much they trusted people in an office building. I don't know. We can't let people work in here. They would naturally try to jump out the window and kill themselves. We can't allow that to happen. Let's make sure the windows don't open. Yeah, you're right. Everybody that works in an office would be in the mode of wanting to kill themselves at one point or another. By jumping out a window, of course, would be their mode of transportation in order to achieve their wishes. Anyway, it has nothing to do with anything. Thanks for being here is what I wanted to say. Okay, let's talk cotton. Melissa Bestos joins us now. She's Director of Market Research in the Corporate Strategy and Program Metrics Department of Cotton Incorporated. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I can't believe we're talking about back to school, but this is about the time of year that we do.
It is. I can't either. It definitely is. It's an important season for retail as well, so they're looking forward to it.
Now, we know that people buy pencils and pens and those kind of school supplies, but it also is time to take a look at outfitting your child for the season.
That is absolutely true. Actually, if we look at what those who need to buy back-to-school products are planning to buy, clothes are top the list. About 91% of those shopping will be buying clothes. Uh-huh. Shoes are important as well, 87% planning to buy that.
Wow, okay. And when does one actually take to the aisles of the stores or take to the keyboards online in order to begin doing this?
Well, what we see, obviously, the season has already started. Some schools have already started back, some of those year-round schools. But what we do see from a purchaser standpoint is that they tend to buy most of their clothing before the school year starts, so about 68% say they do that. About a third say they try to hold off and buy a little bit at the beginning of the school year, and some hold off to wait for larger sales after the school year starts.
Okay. And this all comes out of a lifestyle monitor survey?
Yes, that's right. We have a survey called Cotton Incorporated's Lifestyle Monitor. We talk to about 6,000 consumers each year, ages 13 to 70. And we've been doing that for over two decades now. So we try to track consumers' behaviors and how they're shifting and changing and how their preferences change, and even how their shopping changes, whether it's online or in-store.
Now, I know the economy is better than it has been for many. Is there a shift in how much people spend for this endeavor?
Well, if we look at just some overall projections of what they're expecting for this year, is actually that back-to-school shopping will be up overall about 4%. Okay. So it did well last year. They're expecting it to do maybe even better this year. If we look from the consumer's standpoint, what they plan to spend on clothing in particular, it's somewhat flat, about $267 per person on back-to-school clothing. But we are expecting to see an uptick in overall purchases and sales.
All right. Now, I know you're with the cotton industry, so obviously the preference here would be cotton, I would assume.
Well, actually, yes, not just my preference, but what we actually, if we take a look at what the consumers are planning to buy, we know shirts top that list with about 87% planning to buy shirts, pants, 81%, socks, 76%, jeans, 72% plan to buy those.
Wow.
And what most parents tell us, regardless of what they plan to buy, more than 8 out of 10 say they want their kids wearing cotton. So we do know there is a preference for cotton because that really meets their needs for comfort, and we know they want their children to be comfortable.
There might be some people who don't really know what we're talking about here. because as long as you got the name of the sports team on your T-shirt, I don't even know if that's allowed in some schools, but I mean, a lot of people don't really understand the difference between materials that are used, because you get a lot of fabricated, quote-unquote, types of materials these days. Some people don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's true. What we see is about 53% of consumers say that they always or sometimes check the labels for the fibers when they're looking for their children's fabrics. No, it's not everybody. And I think some people, they've learned to maybe just touch it and feel it and see if that's what they're looking for. And then they realize once they try to launder it or take care of it that it doesn't really last like a cotton item would. It's not quite as durable. So sometimes they learn the hard way after they're washing it. Then they read the instructions. But certainly it would be encouraged to take a look at it to make sure they're getting what they expect to be getting
When people shop for their kids for the back-to-school season, is it advisable to take your child with you or leave them in the car with the windows up? No, I'm only kidding. That's a joke. Okay.
Well, from a parent perspective, I have twin 10-year-olds, and I would say it's always nice to leave them at home with an electronic device. But no, I would say... actually, at least from my standpoint, I know that the children tend to have an opinion on what they at least don't want to wear versus what they do want to wear.
That's
so
a good point.
What we do see is that, a lot of kids actually have an opinion on what they like, even regardless of how young they are. If they're once they're in preschool and kindergarten, they start to identify with what they like. And
interesting.
So parents, like to make sure that they're buying something they're going to get a good use out of.
Yeah, and it's good for a child to start develop some type of fashion sense and self-awareness of what they're looking like to other people. And also they're really into those trends more than the parents may even know.
That's absolutely true, yeah. So we see from our research, actually, we've asked the question, who makes the decision when they're buying?
Uh-huh.
And about 52% say they actually make the decision together, and 11% say their child makes the decision, and usually that's an older child doing so, and about 38% do it only themselves, the parents. So we know that a large share of the children themselves are a part of the decision-making when buying clothes.
Now, you're in corporate strategy, which sounds like you're an international foreign aid figure or something. That's a nice title. But it's interesting because corporate strategy, actually, you need that for major companies. And I know that Cotton Incorporated is very interested in other people's perceptions and the directions that they go in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we talk to consumers globally on an ongoing basis to really understand, how they're shopping, what motivates them.
Yeah.
And we look at more than just back-to-school shopping. Obviously, we're looking at their overall lifestyles and how that ultimately affects, what they're buying and shopping for.
I mean, I was kind of kidding about corporate strategy being like foreign relations, but you actually do represent countries all across the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and then we'll also take this research and information and we'll meet with brands and the retailers and manufacturers and countries across the globe to help, obviously, with their business and their cotton business, make sure that they're doing well.
Nice deal. But when it all comes down to it, we're only concerned about shopping for the fall. I guess we should get back to that.
Sure.
I suppose, as opposed to people picking out clothes in India, which is fine. They should do that. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. They like cotton there, too.
Yes, they do. And they really, they need cotton there, believe me. I've been there. They need cotton. Okay. All right. So this is actually an exciting time. And it's talking to you, I'm starting to realize we're kind of almost halfway through the summer here. So in one sense, it's depressing. But in another, it's whatever. It's the way things go. All right. So sit down, talk to your kids, bring them or don't bring them, but start looking at the back-to-school season. Is it a good time to get deals right now?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We've seen, retailers really trying to give promotions and to get consumers into the store, the physical store, or even online shopping.
Yeah.
So you can see some good deals.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I love to go to the stores to buy clothes. I have a problem online shopping. That may be a negative comment. I really don't know. But there's nothing that replaces actually looking at the clothing, looking at the item that you're actually going to buy. But that's just me. That's just me. I want to keep my stores open and in action.
It's not just you. We know that the majority of consumers prefer to actually shop in the physical store. Good. But online is growing. It's definitely growing.
Yeah, it is.
And consumers, more and more consumers, are using it to really educate and research, educate themselves and research before they go into the physical store. So they spend less time, especially if they have their children with them, right? So they've kind of narrowed it down. They want the kids to try the clothing on to make sure it fits. So so they work together, and consumers are learning more about how to use them together.
Yeah, clothing is one of those items that you really have to see it, touch it, and usually try it on. And I'm on a big campaign to keep stores open, keep the brick and mortar strong, and keep them open. Okay, where do we go for more information, Melissa?
Okay. Well, I can tell you, if you're looking for some cotton clothes, thefabricofourlives.com is a great place to go get education on kind of all things cotton, including care tips and also do-it-yourself and even fashion advice. But there's also a shop cotton section that can lead you directly to the retailers with some cotton clothing if you're looking to buy some.
Perfect.
So hopefully that can be a helpful tool.
Okay. Thanks so much for your conversation this morning.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Bah, 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 bah. What are you wearing today? I don't care. I don't care at all. You want to know what I'm wearing? You don't care. You don't care. Pants. I'm wearing pants. I'll tell you that right now. I'll go there. I'm wearing pants. I'm not going to be specific. That would be kind of awkward. We're just about out of time for today, or at least I'm just about out of time for today. You probably have more time than I do. Although I know I have a lot more time than you do on my hands, but that's different. Doing what I do professionally doesn't require much time, so I have a lot of time on my hands, and they're all over my hands. Sometimes I wash my hands and I've still got time all over it, and I can't figure out what that is. And by the way, why are there two things called time that are totally different? They're spelled differently, but why even do that? Time would be, of course, what's on the clock, the amount of existence vacuum that you have. What time is it? And time is also an herb, or a herb, an herb that you can put into various foods in order to enhance the flavor. I don't know which one we're talking about. So it's like the pirate's booty. I have no idea. I think there's actually a popcorn called pirate's booty as well. I don't even understand what that's supposed to mean. How could popcorn have anything to do with a pirate's booty? And if it's the booty on the rear end, then that's the last place I would want to put popcorn in my mouth. It's just it all doesn't make sense to me. Something's missing from somewhere, somehow. And I don't know what it is, and I don't know where it is, but I know something's missing. There's some link that I'm missing somewhere. Some understanding that I'm not quite getting. I know that's true. I know it's true for a fact. I also know that we're just about out of time. This has been one of the great pleasures of my life, is to spend these moments with you. As we light the candles and I extend my hand and you recall all those fine moments we've had together in our existence, the journeys, the experiences, the conversation, the way that we look into each other's eyes. Except for you, the pirate with the eye patch. I can't deal with you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.